by Rebecca Spencer.
Mass curls it, and that's a wonderful goal!
And Rhea Percival from almost the halfway line.
Hello and welcome to N17 Women, the first and we think still the best podcast solely focusing on Tottenham Hotspur women's team. I'm Rachel, I'm your host today, and I am very happily joined by Abby, Caroline and Sean to talk about a historic, nail-biting, at times painful, but ultimately wonderful FA Cup semi-final win on Sunday at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. So, how are you all? Have you come down yet?
No, I'm great. I definitely was watching some videos and getting still a little teary-eyed this morning. So definitely haven't come down yet. I don't know about the rest of you guys. I'm just loving it.
Yeah, I'm just like, give me all of the content from the game. Like, I cannot get enough of it. Felt like we experienced pretty much every emotion except for the penalty-related emotions, which we were spared of. So thank you to Tottenham Hotspur for that. But yeah, it's like I still kind of can't believe it, but at the same time I can, because we deserve the win.
Yeah, enjoying all the content, slightly trying to focus on the next step with all the admin stuff that goes along with we've got a game at the weekend and the final. Everybody's desperate to know about how to get tickets about that and things. So lots of stuff going on in the background, but yeah, still trying to enjoy the vibes on social media.
Yeah, it's been lovely, hasn't it? Just, you know, it's nice to have a Monday where you're not really focusing on going back to work, but rather on reliving the weekend. So let's hopefully help everybody else to keep doing that by going over the game. We've got loads of listener questions that we're going to get to afterwards, but we're going to start by kind of going back in time and thinking about the lineup. And we'd heard before the game that everyone was fit and available for selection. But in the event, the lineup was actually unchanged from the last game, which was away at Bristol. That meant we had Becky Spencer in goal. We had a back line of Amanda Nilden, Luana Bula, Amy James-Turner and Ash Neville, Evelina Sumanum and Drew Spence in sort of holding midfield area, Grace Clinton at 10 and Celine Bizet and Jessica Naz on the wings with Bethany England Central. And with so many players available for selection, it also meant that there were three players, Eleanor Heaps, Rosella Ryan and Ellie Brazil, who didn't even make the matchday squad. So, were you surprised or unsure about any of these choices? What were you thinking?
I mean, pretty much what I expected, I think. My only question was, would Molly come back in as central defender after so many games? But I guess with several games out, Robert was just taking precautions and not throwing her into quite such a big game straight away. Big question is, who loses their place so that she can come back for the final? That's going to be a tough one. But yeah, I think pretty much unsurprising lineup from my perspective.
Yeah, the only thing I was surprised about was Drew, you know, not playing in the number 10 role, you know, being a little farther back. I feel like that was just a way of Robert getting more of our purely attacking players like Grace Clinton taking on that position instead so that Jess Naz could still start. So I think, you know, obviously it worked out and I feel like he managed the game really well with, you know, the subs that came on also. But it's when I saw this lineup, I felt very confident that we could get the job done.
Yeah, nothing much to add. I didn't really know what to expect after such a long break. So I was kind of like, yep, okay, sounds like a plan. Let's do it.
Yeah, it's true. It'd been a long time. We didn't know if anyone had come back from international duty. Not injured, but maybe tired. But yeah, seems like I don't think anyone was that surprised. And as it was, Spurs started pretty brightly, albeit not quite as well as last time out against Leicester when Matilda Vinberg scored with just over a minute on the clock. This time it was Celine who came closest with a couple of chances, including one in which she was one-on-one with the keeper and probably made not the best decision. And then against the run of play, Leicester scored. Have to say, not a massive surprise. Rantala, who is Leicester's Finnish player, and I think Abby had drawn our attention to her last pod. She had scored in the international break. She's been on fire this season. And I'd actually just got through telling my partner that she was dangerous and pointing her out when she really annoyingly proved my point. And in the 12th minute, scored a goal. So now that we're over it, now we know it doesn't matter because we can look back in hindsight. Can we recognise that it was a really lovely left-footed strike? Retrospectively, let's kind of give her a little bit of credit for it, but also what were you thinking at the time and were there things we could have done better to stop her getting such a lovely goal?
I'll tell you what, she really nailed her audition for Spurs.
From your lips to Robert's ears, Abby.
No, I'm just joking. I definitely think that I think it was Evelina's tackle in midfield that she kind of missed immediately before that was, I feel like she committed way too much to that. And that was kind of like the thing that set all of that off. I also think like, we know she does that thing, Rantala, like we know she cuts inside like that. So I don't know, but it was really, really good. And she did kind of unsight Becky. So yeah.
Yeah, I don't think that we can really put too much blame on Becky for this one because there was a lot of traffic in the box, kind of preventing her from getting a clear eye on the shot. And it was a really great technique. So all credit to Rantala as well for the actual shot. But I agree. I think it was really more so losing possession higher up the pitch that really led to this goal. And, you know, Rantala was just able to take advantage. So we know that that's something that we can clean up in the next games and certainly hopefully before we get to the final.
I mean, I think Amanda Nielden as well was not playing as well as she could have done. And I think she gave too much space to her. One, she was, you know, obviously losing possession. She was out of position for where she should be, but then she gave too much time to Rantala really and should have closed her down more, I think. But it was relatively early on in the game and these things happen, don't they? And we had lots of time, so it wasn't the end of the world and it proved not to be the end of the world. But yeah, I think we know that our Finnish duo were helpful to Becky and later on knowing Rantala. So it's a shame that we didn't, you know, spot that one. But a shot like that is hard to do anything about once, you know, once somebody's taken that shot, it's hard to stop it.
Yeah, I think all of that makes sense. She definitely seemed to find a lot of space and Amanda Nielden wasn't closing that down. And also nobody else from sort of none of the rest of the defenders were coming forward to her very fast. In the end, like Evelina was trying to run back and make a tackle because she obviously did know how dangerous she was. But yeah, all to no effect at that point. And actually after the goal, Leicester started to look really good for what felt like a very long period, but it was probably about 10 minutes. They continued to make, and I think you both highlighted that. I mean, one of the things they were doing throughout the game was making these really rapid transitions, using Rantala down one side, Deanne Rose on the other. And sort of during that period, Becky was called upon to make a pretty excellent save with her feet to deny a shot on target. As the half continued, though, Spurs got a few opportunities. Most of them seemed to start with Jess receiving the ball just over halfway and surging forwards. But then her balls, other people's final balls were not there. And generally, Leicester were doing a really good job of pressing high and forcing Spurs to play centrally and then surrounding our players to force turnovers. So it was a very transitional game, not the most beautiful game to watch. But what were you thinking as we went into halftime 1-0 down?
I was glad that we at least conceded the goal early, so we had plenty of time to come back. And I did feel confident that we were going to find a goal. It took longer than I expected, to be honest, but we were getting opportunities. I do think in the first half, it felt like the game was a lot more even, you know, and it was interesting how most of the action was happening kind of on, I guess, our right side, their left side of the pitch. That battle between Ash Neville and Deanne Rose was fascinating to watch. But then when we got into our attacking half, you had Jess coming up against, I think it was Kamen for Leicester. So just very interesting to see sort of these very like, sort of individual battles being really important to the gameplay. But yeah, it felt like we had played well and there was no reason we couldn't go into the second half and find that equalizer and possibly a winner.
Yeah, it's funny to your last point, or your second to last point, I guess. I saw someone on Twitter say like this game really is the matchup between like the older experienced fullback and the young up and coming winger on both sides. And I thought that was really funny. It really was like, there really were some very interesting individual battles. Cause like, I mean, Momiki was there too. She's really good. Yeah. So going into halftime, I, for one, was actually like so frustrated because I woke up at 4:50 in the morning to watch this game. And I was like, I swear to God, if we lose this game 1-0 with a goal scored before I had even like basically finished opening my eyes, I'm going to be so mad. And like, yeah, I was like, I was not a happy camper, but in hindsight, like I should probably have had, I did have some faith. Like I definitely thought we could do it. I was starting to get concerned by some of lack of end product I was seeing. And out of our players and just starting to think like, oh, so it's going to be one of those games. But yeah, again, like, as we alluded to earlier, and we'll talk about again in the future, super, super happy with like the aggressive changes Willem was making to sort of counteract some of that. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think, I mean, it felt like a fairly standard game between us and Leicester in many ways. It's how those games have gone. They've been very tight. They've been very close, which is what we said on the last pod we were expecting. But at the same time, I mean, I hadn't had quite the good vibes feeling that I think everybody else had before the game, because I was worried that having been the team that were expected to win that, that we weren't then going to, and we were going to blow this chance, and that would be huge for us. And so I can remember I was at one point talking to Ash's wife, Liz, and just saying, we can't lose this game. We can't lose this game. So, yeah, I was just, I mean, I think I was still hopeful at that point that we could do it. And, you know we like to leave it late. But yes, it was starting to become a little bit worrying.
Just on that point about our games with Leicester, and I think we talked about this on the previous pod about how our passing has been much worse against Leicester, and a lot of that is to do with how they defend. And it was interesting, I don't know if you caught Robert Willem saying in the article Charlotte Harper wrote, that he'd actually got the Spurs under 21 team to play against them and to set up like Leicester set up, so that they could practice playing against this kind of like very intensive sort of man marking press. And yeah, I just thought that was interesting. I'm not sure it was like Spurs were entirely able to cope with it, but obviously it was something that at least gave them a little bit more of that sense.
Yeah, and it's really cool just to like see him and like hear about that, just like pulling out all the stops for this game. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's really a sign that he was taking it seriously, and he needed to, because yeah.
Well, and to speak to kind of what Sean just said about, it did feel like all the pressure was on us to meet this moment. And I think it was interesting to see this morning, you know, that video clip come out of both Robert and Beth's team talks before the game, and how Beth talked about how we had to play to the game itself, not the occasion. And perhaps there could have been a little bit of those sort of nerves showing up in the first half, especially with like some of those chances we missed. But I do think that as the game, you know, progressed into the second half, it felt like we did settle down and just focus on playing our game and doing what we know we can do best.
So talking about the second half, let's move on to it. And I think we probably could say that the first part of the second half began relatively similarly to how the first half played out. So unless you want to say anything massive about the first 10 minutes or so, we are going to move on to talking about the substitutions. And the first of those came on 58 minutes. It was Martha Thomas on for Celine, which resulted in Grace Clinton moving out wide and Beth dropping back to the sort of number 10 position, putting Martha at the front of our attack. And immediately we seem to be pressing more aggressively. It's something we've seen before from Martha, that she's really great in the press and she puts pressure on goalkeepers especially. And within a few minutes, there was also sort of something that looked, I kind of watching it back, it was very kind of resonant of the North London Derby goal. Just didn't quite work, but it started with this sort of beautiful passing move. Start with Ash intercepting the ball at the edge of the box, releasing Jess, who stepped past two players, found Martha, sent it back to Amanda. It was then went from Amanda to Evelina to Grace. She dribbled across the pitch to Jess, who was in a great position to shoot from the edge of the box. But she slipped just before she did. And it sort of seemed a little bit off balance. So the shot went over. So I guess the reason I'm sort of highlighting this is not because it was the best chance that we had, but it was because it was that sign, like Caroline said before, that we were starting to get into our rhythm and being the sort of Spurs that we've seen play, you know, across the season. That said, Leicester were still creating chances, and so we had another couple of substitutes, another four substitutes. On 68 minutes, Kit was on for Drew, pretty much a straight swap. And then on 77 minutes, we had a triple sub of Olga for Evelina, Charlie for Amanda, both of which were straight swaps. And then we got Tilly in for Grace, which was also kind of a straight swap, but precipitated another change in positions at the front, with Jess moving to the front to play at the nine, Beth remaining at the 10, and Martha now playing out on the right wing. So did any of those substitutions surprise you, or kind of were you excited about them? And especially, do you have things to say about those changes in formation and shape?
I think the subs made sense, like the timing of them, because Drew, you know, she had taken a few knocks and had that kind of close range blow to the head, which was making me concerned for her, honestly. So I was kind of relieved to see her go off for her sake, even though she had had a strong game. And, you know, Evelina was on a yellow card at that point. And I think we have seen sometimes in the past where she can be a little rash going into like defensive moments. So I was glad to see that happen as well. And then I thought, you know, with Charlie coming on and Tilly, it really felt like we were going for it. Because Charlie, especially, is someone who loves to get involved in the attack from that fullback position. And I also think it kind of worked to our advantage that we had Martha shifting out to the wing, because that's not something we've really seen from her at Spurs. And it's obviously something that Leicester hadn't seen either. So we had a little bit of the element of surprise working in our favor at that point.
And isn't it the case that when Martha's played on the wing before, it's been on the left side, not the right? I could be wrong about that. I remember talking about her on the wing for United, and I just had this in my head, but I don't know. I mean, in any case, Villaham was like, that's an unusual position for her. So we'll take, yeah, whatever you want to take from that. But yeah, I think like it was funny. I thought Drew's been really good since she came back. And I like, because of my like undying love for Kit, I was like seeing that sub, I was like, oh man, I really hope like Kit fills those shoes. Like, I'm so nervous for her. But then she like totally did, and like totally did, like nailed it, did a great job. So yeah, I need not have worried at all about that. And then, yeah, the rest of them kind of made sense.
Yeah, I think it's kind of what we expect, really, isn't it? Those are those kind of changes that we know come into play. And I think, as I said earlier, I don't think Amanda had the best game. So Charlie coming in, which, you know, when we saw her coming on, I think we were a little bit, which side is she coming on? But she came on and she did a good job. And, you know, Amanda hadn't really been getting forward in the way that we have seen her in previous games. So it was good to see that. Yeah, Drew had a great first half, but obviously still coming back from quite a long time injured. So, and with those couple of knocks and things, and Kit, we know, can do a great job in there. And I think did do a great job in there in the second half as well. So really not hugely surprised. I mean, obviously Evelina, we don't see coming off too often, but in that situation where she's on a yellow, when you've got Olga waiting on the bench, I don't think, you know, it's a downgrade. You know, they're fairly similar kind of players. So yes, sensible changes and proved to be good ones.
Yeah, I think that Kit filled in some of Evelina's sort of defensive role, and so it made it easier then to bring Olga in. So I think it's hard to have like Drew and Olga on at the same time, maybe, because neither of them quite does what Evelina or Kit do in terms of some of the defensive work. And so it felt like that those two changes kind of were contingent on each other a little bit. I also think Evelina played every minute of all of the games in the international break. So probably of our players would be one of the most tired. As you know, most of the others played some, but not all of their games. So that kind of made sense. And I think going back to what you were saying, Caroline, about our right side being much stronger and that being a lot of where the play was going, it's noticeable that the two players who were playing on the left got substituted. So we saw both Celine and then Amanda going off, whereas Ash and Jess, who was initially on the right. I mean, everybody was on the right at some point, but, you know, had both kind of stayed on. I was a little surprised that Jess had stayed on, especially with both Martha and Beth being on. And we heard afterwards, you know, that he had really got this plan for Jess to play and to sort of try and keep on breaking the lines. And I joked afterwards that this is how you solve the Martha and Beth conundrum, is you don't play either of them at number nine. It kind of worked.
I mean, from a pure endurance perspective, I was surprised that Jess was able to make it through this whole game. And like, honestly, this was just super impressive, the shift that she put in, you know, because she is a player who uses her pace to great effect, and to be able to maintain that throughout not just a full 90, but extra time as well. Just incredible. And I know Robert did talk about having her move up to the striker position near the end helped her preserve a little bit of that energy, but she was still making the runs. So yeah, I just think big tip of the hat to Jess.
Yeah, that was really impressive. I did not know that she had that in her. And I also like, I really love that. I saw that bit too about Wilhelm talking about moving her to striker so that she could be less involved in the other running parts and have the energy to continue making those runs. And I really loved that he made that tweak to be able to continue having her on the field because he so obviously values what she does. Yeah, it is really funny that the way to get Beth and Martha on the field at the same time was to have neither of them play striker. I'm still laughing about that several days on. And I think also especially because I believe we have spoken the words on this pod before, and this was last year, granted, lots has changed, but we have said like the Jess striker experiment is over. It's definitely like we were wrong about that one. So yeah, all in all, very funny. Love to see it. Good stuff.
Yeah, I think it's I think we know of the three of them. Jess has been in the best form most recently. You know, she's been the one that's been getting the luck and the success. And obviously, you know, that's changing now slightly, but Jess has been on form and has deserved to stay on that pitch, I think, and the results that she got prove that. But she's not usually on the pitch for 90 minutes, let alone 120 minutes. So kudos to her for keeping running. I mean, she's young. She's, you know, she's only 23, so she's got plenty of energy, but still to do that, you know, she did really well, and you know, she kept playing. And my nephew commented to me later on in the game that he didn't really feel he'd seen her pace that much, but then when she kind of scored the goal, all of a sudden, oh, there's the pace that he knows she's got. So it was later on in the game, it felt like she had more pace.
And you know, the other thing we have to remember too about Jess is that when she is out on the wing, she will contribute to the defensive effort as well. So that's kind of what puts the miles in her legs is the tracking back and all of that kind of part of her role. And so it made sense then that when she was up at striker, she didn't have to feel quite as responsible to be doing that work as well. So I think just very smart from Robert, that sort of positional shift.
Yeah, no, I think definitely. And I think, as I said before, the team with that sort of formation was also pressing more than it had been earlier. And so we saw sort of much more pressure on Leicester's defenders. But as well as Spurs making some substitutions, Leicester made a couple, including notably Deanne Rose being replaced by Shannon O'Brien, although she had a pretty decent game as well. And to a large extent, Leicester continued playing in the same way, at least at that point in the game. But we're talking about Jess, and I think from just sitting in the stands, it felt like the most frequent chance, other than come on you Spurs, was kind of like, go on Jess. Because it felt like there were kept on being these moments where she picked up the ball, she was running forward. And even though like they often resulted in chances, like whether it was for her or they ended up in corners, final ball wasn't there initially. And there was definitely starting to be that audible grumbling going on about her performance. And I later found out when I looked that there was also some grumbling on social media, but it definitely was her who had the last laugh, because on the 83rd minute, the ball was turned over in midfield. Martha Thomas found Beth, who lobbed it up to Jess. Josie Green, formerly of Spurs, should have done better, but instead Jess was able to run onto it, take it to the left, just ahead of the three defenders who were chasing her down, and slot it home to the right of Kopp, the Leicester keeper. It was basically perfect. She did her stirring the pot celebration and the stadium erupted. So how happy were we that Jess got her goal and we levelled it? And I guess as part of that, are we going to thank Josie for that mistake?
I did joke that Josie is still fully Coy's. She probably won't want to hear that. You know, she'll be very frustrated with herself. But it is kind of ironic that in both this game and with Beth's equalizer in the City game, we kind of took advantage of a defensive error from the opponent. But that, I think, is what separates players like Beth and like Jess, that they have the composure in those moments to take advantage. And just the calmness of her shot, I thought, was beautiful. And yeah, like I was happy that it was her that got this, you know, very important goal for us, because she, I think, has been one of our most important players this season. And to also have been with the team as long as she has, it feels special that it was her that helped us get to Wembley.
Yeah, I think we were all starting to get to that point in the game somewhere around 70 minutes where we were starting to not believe anymore, I think. And there was definitely a lull in the fans of kind of like, this is just not going to happen, is it? We're just not going to do it. And then you have that moment of just, yeah, that touch from Beth over the top of the defence, and just running on goal, which thus so far in this game hadn't yielded the result we wanted. But in that moment, it just did, and just gave us all the hope and the belief again. And Jess has been long been a player of much promise, we've long been touted. When she arrived, she was supposed to be the next big thing, and I think finally she's starting to realise her potential as, you know, as a senior player and really doing well. And yeah, she's probably I think the second longest serving player now after Ash. So great to see her do that and be so important for the team this season, and get that goal with Beth giving the assist, which I think also I was after that goal, I kind of, there was a pause in the play and Beth was having a drink and she was stood just in front of us and she was then started talking to somebody on the, one of the staff on the sidelines, and you saw that kind of cheeky Beth smile back again, which I feel like we've been missing for a few games. She's just been frustrated more than anything else, but it felt like she was enjoying it and she was knew that we could do this. So yeah, it felt like it was coming together there.
Yeah, I was so emotional over that. I just, she had a very long layoff due to injury with an ACL, like, and this was a while ago as well. So like the resources and funds that are just starting to come today medically for women's sports, like it must have been even harder then. I think it was like 2017 or something. And she was out for over a year. And you guys probably know, because I said it on the pod before, I was starting to think that maybe she wasn't going to kick on. And I really just thought this whole goal just encapsulated how far she's come recently and how great she's been, because like I didn't even think for a minute that she wasn't going to put that away. I was watching, like, you know, early in the morning by myself, and when she like, she had like knocked the ball on, but she hadn't taken the shot yet, I think I like said out loud, like, now. And she like shot and it went in, and I was like, oh man, like that was so calm, cool and collected and confident. And just seeing her and like feeling that confidence that she was going to score that chance, like, it just made me so happy for her. And then obviously the fact that she actually scored, it's really great. I was so emotional over that. I feel like I was going to say something else, and now I can't even remember what it was.
Can I'll just like say how excited I was about Jess, and meanwhile you'll remember it. But yeah, I think like one of the things that's amazing, isn't it, because she had one of her best games this season in the North London derby against Arsenal in the Conti Cup away, and then it was like totally overshadowed by the home North London derby the next week. But she'd been amazing in that game, and she'd taken like a couple of these goals where she goes one-on-one and she just has all of a sudden that confidence, as well as the speed and the runs in behind. And she'd said that in this game, she knew that she'd missed chances and she knew that she hadn't done the right thing, but that both Robert Villaham and her teammates said, just keep making the runs, keep running, keep doing it. And, you know, you've heard teammates afterwards, I think it was Ash was saying as well, they were just like, Jess, just tell Jess to keep running. And it's this like this belief in her teammates that it's worth her while doing that, and that she's going to get this end product, is just so lovely. And we forget, you know, like on the one hand, like Sian said, she is one of our longest serving players, but she's 23. Like, she still plays in the under 23 England squad because she is so young. And it's just that she's been playing with us for so long. So, you know, there's so much scope for growth and for her confidence to get better. And yeah, I mean, absolutely love it for her, obviously. Abby, have you remembered what you're going to say?
Nope.
Okay.
No thoughts, only vibes.
There'll be more time, I'm sure, that you can come back with something. So after that goal happened, Spurs were basically on top for the last 10 minutes of regular time and into injury time. There were half chances for loads of people: Beth England, Martha Thomas, Charlie Grant, Amy James Turner. Mostly they were coming from crosses, this time from the left. And then there was a really amazing chance for Martha Thomas, who shot from the right. It was on target, but Kopp made a fingertip save to push it round the post. And that meant extra time. So we had another half hour to play. And in the first period of extra time, Leicester actually made a couple more substitutions. They'd made very few during regular time. In fact, they'd been doing some time wasting because they thought the game was nearly over. But now they got serious, I guess. But it did mean that they took off some players, including Momiki, who Abby mentioned earlier. And one of their substitutions seemed to be forced in the 97th minute. Sayori Takarada, who had been having a really strong game in midfield and probably was their best player against us last time out, went down, and she got substituted by Amy Palmer, who I looked up and she basically played like a couple of minutes all season. So there were definitely some downgrades in terms of their substitutions, I think, in extra time. And I guess one of my questions is, To what extent do you think that Leicester also slowed down a little, especially in midfield? It did start to seem like we were getting a lot more space. And obviously we had fresh legs coming in, we had new players, but it's, you know, there were two teams on the pitch.
Well, I think that's a good shout about one of their substitutes being someone who had barely played this season, because I felt like an extra time was really where we saw the advantage of our squad depth, not just in the sense that I think many of our, you know, substitutes were of a literal higher quality than the lesser players, but also because we had sort of the little mini injury crisis earlier in the season, everybody has had, you know, significant game time at this point. They've all had times when they were able to contribute and like get used to the system that we're starting to play this season. And even like our new signings from January, like they've all had minutes. So it to me, it felt like we could put anybody in and they would be ready to execute the game plan. And I'm not so sure that that was really the case for Leicester. And especially, you know, even before extra time, when Deanne Rose went out, I breathed a huge sigh of relief. Because she had been easily, you know, their most potent player besides Rantala. So I felt really heartened by that. And I do think we saw their midfield was not as effective after those subs.
So as extra time got underway, we had an amazing save from Becky, which came from a Leicester free kick. Rantala, who'd been the goal scorer, took the kick from the right side just beyond the penalty box. It was heading in towards the high left of goal, but Becky got her fingers to it. It hit the bar and bounced down. It was one of those ones that from a distance looks like it could have been bouncing in, but it didn't. And that was the danger over. And it transpired afterwards that Olga, who is Rantala's Finnish teammate, had given Becky a heads up about Rantala liking to take free kicks high and over the wall. We also, though, in this period, got to see Becky doing some of those patented heart-in-mouth things, taking on an onrushing attacker in the box and getting away with it, but in a way that we've all seen in the past sometimes leads to chaos. So were you gasping about either of these moments?
Well, I know some people do not enjoy that that's part of Becky's game, but I actually live for it. Like, I feel like there's a specific noise that comes out of my mouth in these moments that never comes out any other time. The free kick moment, that was
scary. Can you do that noise for us? Can we hear it? How does it go?
It's almost like a, you know, like evil laughter almost. Because I just delight in her, you know, putting the moves on the opposition. But yeah, the free kick, I was really relieved to see that there was a replay angle that clearly showed it did not go over, because I did not want this to be like a moment of controversy after the game. But yeah, I mean, I think that the touch that Becky did get on it was crucial. And I feel like she had a pretty near flawless game, to be honest.
Yeah, I think Becky did what she needed to do when she needed to do it. And yes, when she did her techie moments, my nephew was a bit like, what's going on there? And I'm like, that's just Becky. That's just what Becky does. You just have to live with those moments. And luckily, nothing bad came of them. But I think potentially it's a good sign, because it means her confidence was high at that point in the game. So yeah, we live with those. And if that's what it takes to get those saves that, but you know, I mean, the one in the first half with the feet, and then this one, you know, she wasn't called on to make to do too much in this game. But when she was, she did exactly what she needed to do. And that's why we all love Becky, you know, and why we love it when she's on the form that she's on at the moment. We know that she struggled with form a little bit, but she does seem to be back to putting on those great performances for us.
She definitely seems to be a player who benefits from big occasions and sort of the requirement to concentrate, because I've always felt like sometimes she plays less well because she isn't quite concentrating, and maybe it's because things seem less critical, or she's just like not in the mood, or I don't know what it is, but that it feels like she actually plays up to occasions rather than being overwhelmed by them. And maybe she's had a long career, so it takes that extra motivation to bring out the best in her. Who knows?
She does say, doesn't she? Well, a lot of people say she's like the coolest football player that, you know, in terms of calmest football player that they've ever met. And she doesn't get fazed by those things. And we saw in the World Cup how she played up to that occasion. So yeah, I think you're right. I think she's a big game player, which is great for us at this point in time.
Yes, yes. Just maybe not in the sort of like when we've got nothing to play for in the final game of the season. We'll see. So the first half ended with no more goals, but Spurs are probably on top. Start of the second half of extra time, Leicester had a pretty decent spell. Definitely looked like we were heading to penalties. And then in the 118th minute, Ash played a through ball to Kit, which a Leicester defender put out for a corner. Olga took the corner. It didn't really amount to anything, but it came out to Tilly, who recycled the ball. Luana, who was at the front post, headed it to the far post, and Martha sent a looping header over the keeper and into the opposite corner. It was one of those that was clearly going in even before it got there. It was kind of, you could start your cheering early. So what are your thoughts on the goal and on Martha coming up clutch in the big moments? And Abby's had to leave us because she's got a work crisis she has to go and deal with. But she said that she'd like to register her agreement with all the love the rest of the crew is surely throwing on Martha in answer to this question. So let's give some love on Abby's behalf as well.
Yeah, huge, huge love to Martha. But first, I want to also throw some love out to Luana. I think she was not technically credited with an assist because it may have it come off the Leicester defender slightly right before Martha headed it in. But I just thought she had a really immense game, Luana. And, you know, we were all kind of wondering, like, was she going to keep her spot or was Molly going to come back into the starting lineup? Not to say that I don't think Molly would have played perfectly well in this game. She would have. But I think just kudos to Luana for rising to the occasion and kind of building on that form she had from her international break. It just seems like she's really enjoying her football right now. And yeah, Martha, how do we even start talking about Martha? She's come into the team this season and I think just exceeded definitely all of my expectations that I had for her. And it does feel like she, kind of like Becky, thrives on these huge games. You know, we saw it with the North London Derby at home, getting that fabulous goal to help us get our first ever win in that fixture. And then in this game, showing that composure when we were so close to taking it to penalties. That was just perfect technique on that header. And like you said, Rachel, keeper had zero chance of stopping it. And we all knew it was going in even before it hit the net. So we've been really great with recruiting players who really want to be at Tottenham and are enjoying their time at the club and like really playing for the club. And I feel like we've seen that in all of her performances as well. Like she's really committed and bought in. So yeah, can't speak highly enough of Martha.
Yeah, that desire to come in, you know, the defender was in front of her and she spoke afterwards about how it just she knew she was going to get in front of that defender because she didn't want to go to penalties. You know, that just that brilliant moment. That's what she's done all season, is shown that desire. You know, that's why she gets those lucky goals, because she puts pressure on keepers and on defenders and she forces them to make errors and then she deals with it. One of the top vibe moments from the social media that I've picked up since it is Martha saying last year she got to the final of the FA Cup with Manchester United and it was their first time in the FA Cup final, so a historic moment for them. But getting there with Spurs feels more special to Martha because of her place in the team and because of how important she's been to the team and also because of her relationships with the team and things. So, you know, just those kind of vibe moments that, you know, this team is a special group of players playing together, working hard. To give Martha's given us a lot this season in terms of those goals and the performances, to be able to give her that kind of experience to get to the FA Cup final at this stage of her career and feel like she's had a really key part in it and that she really feels like proud of getting there because of her role in it, is really nice as well. So yeah, leading up to this game, she hasn't been on the best form either, but she's come into this game and she's in the dying moments of the game done exactly what she needed to do. So yeah, really great. And hopefully, you know, it will continue for a few seasons yet.
Yeah, it's funny. When she was getting ready to come on and she was standing there, she just looks so ready. You know, when a player she's just so calm and she's standing there, and Robert Villaham came over and he talked to her while she was standing there. And she just was like this focused player. And like from the minute she came on the pitch, it felt like Spurs played better. And I think it was really like, just like you say, Sean, it's like that she goes for everything. She was, you know, she just has that energy and that desire. And it's so nice to see. And obviously she's been coming back from an injury. And like you say, her last goal was a North London Derby winner. So it's been a while since she scored. And you know, she definitely likes a big occasion, likes the Spurs Stadium. So it's good that she's got this goal. And, you know, we've been talking about, you know, wanting Beth to score goals, but we also wanted Martha to. We didn't want it to be this, like, you know, briefly burning flame that sort of like, and then she's out and that's it. I want her to keep contributing. And I also, you know, she got frustrated when she was at Man United having to play on the wing. And so her coming on and then eventually playing on the wing today, but actually getting the goal. And so it feeling like a different thing. And also, we know that Robert Villaham gives them a lot of sort of allows them to have the freedom to rotate and to move around, so that position matters, but it's not determinative of everything. And that's really important as well. So yeah, I just really want her to not feel like she's been marginalized. And so it was like, I felt like in a way it was like the perfect two goals for Laura's, because Jess, for all that work, for all of what she's done, for her history at the club, for, you know, and how she's been playing this season. And then Martha, because really she has been our goal scorer this season. And she was the one who was like at the forefront while we were kind of getting excited about Robert Villaham's new team. So it's just, yeah, it's beautiful, isn't it? Okay, we could probably keep on saying lovely things about Martha for a very long time, but there were still another 3 minutes of injury time to get through. Luckily, they were not very stressful. And the most interesting part of what happened was probably when their keeper came up for a 122nd minute free kick. The ball got cleared eventually by Jess, who hooked it towards Tilly. She then kind of kicked it from our half of the pitch all the way towards their untended goal. And for that glorious minute, it seemed like it was going to be on target and it could even trickle in. But it just kind of slowed down to a stop in the area and the referee blew the whistle. So no third goal, but still time for the celebrations. And I guess, how glad were you not to have to go through penalties again?
Very relieved not to go through penalties again. Although I would have backed us, you know, just because of who we had on the pitch and who we had between the sticks. But for the sake of my like stress levels, I was glad not to go through that again. It was funny to me because this was almost like the end of the North London Derby game where Rosella had that opportunity to shoot at the open net and didn't pull it off either. So see, it happens to everyone. But both times it was like kind of just a weird way to end the game, because then all of a sudden there's the whistle and you're like, oh, we won. Okay.
That's so funny, because I actually was thinking of exactly that moment. But then I was like, yeah, but like Roz was like, there was an open net and she was like 10 yards out and Tilly was in the other half, but still.
That yeah. is true. It was a much more difficult chance for Tilly to try to pull off. But I appreciated that she at least tried. And, you know, it didn't make a difference in the end. So, yeah, we just got to focus on the celebrations at that point.
Because I was just going to say, it is one of those ones where you always want this to happen, don't you? You know, like the goalkeeper goes up, you're always like, oh, is it open there? Is someone going to try it? And it was like, oh, she tried it and it almost worked. So,
yeah, it didn't quite have enough power on it, did it? And I think it's actually drifting wide, so wouldn't have made it. But for a moment, it was a nice thought. Yeah, but just, we like to leave it late, don't we? We like to, I mean, and in some ways, it makes it sweeter, doesn't it? Because that reaction on that final whistle is just so pure when you've had to wait until that, you know, couple of minutes before that final whistle to make sure you've done it. So, yeah, just incredible scenes and just enjoying the moment, really, with all the flags waving, and it was great. And actually looking on social media afterwards at the celebration at Manchester United, I couldn't help feeling that we did a better job of looking like we were really thrilled about it and enjoying that moment, and the photos with all the flags and all the fans from our game looked a lot better than they did from Man United game. But yeah, just, you know, a semi-final win in our first semi-final win, when there'd been all that pressure on us as well, because we had been the favourites and then we conceded, and just, but that is how we've been playing this, certainly this second half of this season, isn't it, where we have been last minute, and the whole FA Cup campaign was last minute jobs, but we got there and we've done it and we've shown that resilience, which is what Beth has been talking a lot about this season. And yeah, just a party in the stadium. Eventually we got to Freed From Desire. They did put another song in between the celebration song in between, but mostly Freed From Desire was what we were all looking for, because that's the Spurs celebration song these days.
Just on those last minute goals, I was going to just add in this thing that Ben had highlighted on Twitter, which is that across all four games that we've played in the FA Cup, Spurs have now scored 7 goals and none of them have come before the 69th minute. One's been late in extra time, 2 have been in stoppage time, 2 have been after 80 minutes. And that means we've led across 4 games for about 20 minutes or so. So is this really what we're going to keep on doing? Are we going to expect more of this in the final? Do we love, is it the pressure of a late goal in the knockout that gets us going? Or just want to torture fans?
Well, I think from a fan perspective, this makes me feel better about going into the final, because even if we concede, I will still have some hope because we've proven that we can do it time and time again, you know, make those comebacks. So it's, I can't say it's enjoyable, that we keep leaving it late, but we get it done in the end. So we can dream. That's the important thing.
Well, like I said, it does add to the adrenaline of that final whistle. And when you haven't been sure you're going to be celebrating on the final whistle. And as I say, you know, Beth's been talking a lot about resilience, and last season we might have gone up in those games and then conceded. Whereas this season we've just kept plugging away and got there in the end. And yes, in this game, I think we were all starting to get a bit worried at 70 minutes because that felt like an impossible task at that point. But the team knew when to pick it up. And then once we got one goal, I think we all believed that we could go on and do it, because we've seen the team do that. And doesn't matter who we're playing, I think, at the moment. We don't make it easy for ourselves, but we do get there in the end. And that is a key skill if you want to be succeeding. You've got to keep pushing away and you've got to keep playing. And even if it doesn't look like it's going your way, i.e. Jess Naz and her shots in the game, you know, you've just got to keep going because there's nothing else you can do. And it, as I say, it makes for a big release at the final whistle.
Yeah, and I would also just highlight that it's that resilience, it's the sort of mentality, it's all of those things. But it's also, we've got amazing bench at the moment. Like, there is a really big difference between last season and this season. And one of the reasons why we get better and not worse is that relative to other teams, we're starting to have a better bench. Whereas last season, relative to other teams, we would often be the ones with the worst bench. And so as the game went on, we would look worse and worse in comparison. And it's just so nice to be in that position. I mean, Man United obviously have a good bench, so I don't know if we'll necessarily be in that position in those games, but we can come to that discussion in a little while. But it is just, that is a big part of that change, I think. A brief question from Nick, who said, did any of the panel also have something in their eye at full time?
I will say I did not cry during or right after the game, but my brother had just come over right before Martha scored the game-winning goal. And when it went in the net, I think he was genuinely shocked at how loud I screamed. So I guess that's how I express my emotion, is just like loud noises and not so much the crying. But a little while after the game, our friend Harsh, he was at the stadium for the first time, which is, I think, really awesome for him. But he said that he had overheard this little kid saying, "This was the best day of my life." And that was what really got to me. Like, this was like hours after the game that I saw this tweet, but I was just like, oh, that's what it's all about, you know?
Yeah, no, I didn't cry, but my nephew said his legs were shaky as we left the stadium from all the excitement. And one thing I love about this kind of thing is, you know, all that talk about inspiring girls. Well, don't limit yourself, because the boys are just as inspired as the girls by what's going on, and it's great. And he, you know, yes, the men's team is his primary focus, but he will come and enjoy the women's games, and in games like that, he will absolutely be inspired to, you know, and he'll come to the final with me and enjoy it. And, you know, let's not limit ourselves anymore. You know, all those players out on the pitch were inspired by male players when they were younger. There's no reason why the male players of the future can't be saying that it was Beth England and Martha Thomas who inspired them to be players. And that was great. But again, that kind of enjoying the moment, but then the switch to, right, now what's next, because we've got a final. And well, it was then watching the other results coming home and going, you know what, with that opponent, I really want to win the final more than I would have done if it was Chelsea. I really, now it's like, actually, you know what, I'm going to be upset if we lose the final now.
Okay, we're going to get to talking about the final in a little while, so we're nearly there but not quite yet. But I guess I was just going to say, in terms of, for me, I was just like crazy happy and smiling, and at the moment my arm's hurting, so I was like, I can't properly celebrate with both arms in the air. I can only put one arm in the air at the moment. I was still like jumping around. And then the thing that did make me teary came like afterwards, and it was when I watched Ash Neville's interview, which was just like really lovely. And there was this bit in it that she was talking about what it meant to play at Wembley. And she said that, I know some of the players have played there before, the internationals, they play there more regularly, but for me, being an oldie, it's a dream come true to go there and play. And that was when I was just like, you know, you could just feel how much it meant to her specifically. And we know, everyone on this pod, we all love Ash. And, you know, we've seen her go through this. We've advocated for her to play as an international. She's obviously never going to happen. It's not going to happen. And like, unless some miracle happens in the next couple of years. So this is like her chance to play at Wembley. And it, I guess my question for you guys is, how do we protect her? I don't know, like, from any kind of injury or, I don't know, bee sting in the next month, so that she's available on the 12th of May.
I mean, I don't think with Ash you do you? You just let her play because that's how she is. I mean, to echo your point, there are lots of reasons why I'm happy that we've made the final, but one of the biggest is that Ash will get to play at Wembley because I think she deserves it. I think she should have been playing for England and she hasn't been, but she gets to play at Wembley with Spurs as well. And I know Spurs mean a lot to her now. And for Jess, it means a lot too as well, but she's still got a lot of years ahead of her and she's involved in the England international setup and things. But for Ash, this may be her only chance, and I think it's brilliant. And for me, her getting to play at Wembley is a big part of why it's a really incredible moment for the team. So can't wait for it. And yeah, if she's not fit, then I think we will all be absolutely gutted for her. But she's had her injury; she's been out for a few weeks. She doesn't usually go out with injuries, so fingers crossed. But I don't think there's such a thing as wrapping Ash Neville in bubble wrap or cotton wool, or so. I don't think that works really.
Yeah, I don't think she's the type of player to take it easy in the meantime, preserve some energy. Like she's not that kind of player. She's always 100%. So like I've been thinking, oh, the final, it's so close. But hearing you talk about like needing Ash to not get injured, I'm thinking, God, this is a long time away. So please, Ash, stay fit. We want to see you play in this final. And I think there are a lot of players too that it's just like I really want this moment for them. So fingers crossed everybody can stay fit.
Yeah, absolutely. And there might be a point where our WSL season matters less, and maybe they can just go in for just slightly less aggressive challenges sometimes. I don't know. I wouldn't be that massively upset. Anyway, let's have a quick player of the match. The club announced in its kind of type slightly random way that Jess was a player of the match. But for me, that was a pretty fair call. How about you guys?
Yeah, it was just for me. That's definitely who I submitted as my, selection in their very unscientific poll format, which is just replies on Twitter. But yeah, I think she just her work rate in this game was incredible. The quality of her finish for her goal was incredible. And again, this is a player that has been with the team for a long time, and you just love to see her have that kind of game and that kind of moment in an FA Cup semifinal. So yeah, it's Jess.
Yeah, I think Jess. On to your point, Caroline, I am working with a club and we are looking to try and get the player of the match done like the men's. But yeah, I think Jess is the player for that game. Just 120 minutes of just pure Jess playing various different positions, getting the goal when it mattered, keeping a cool head when it mattered and keeping on playing and making the runs. And yeah, 120 minutes of hard work, which it was for all of them, but Jess got the goal that made us all believe again.
Yeah, I'm totally on board with that one too. So we're agreed. We're agreed with the majority of people who have responded to the club as well. So that's great. As Sian intimated earlier, we also now know that we are going to be facing Man United in the final on May 12th. They defeated Chelsea thanks to two early goals from Lucia Garcia and Rachel Williams. Lauren w James got one back for Chelsea at the end of the first half, and then United hung on, although they were pinned back for most of the second half and ended the game with just 30% possession, five shots, only two of which were on target, but those two were sufficient. There are two things to note, probably, about Man United as finalists. First, it means that whoever wins this year, there'll be a new winner of the FA Cup. Obviously, we very much want that winner to be Spurs. Secondly, it means that Grace Clinton, because she is on loan from Man United, won't be able to play in the final. I didn't watch much of the other semi-final because I was in the pub celebrating. I did watch a little bit of the second half on my phone, but if either of you watch more of it than me, or you have any other thoughts about Man United as our opponents, please.
Well, I did actually watch this one pretty closely, and I think United were pretty fortunate to make it out of this tie. The officiating was pretty rank, to put it mildly. Like they really got away with not just some pretty egregious fouls, but also potential penalty decisions. So we never want to be too sympathetic to Chelsea, but I do feel a little bad for them in this situation. I feel like they kind of got cheated out of at least a chance to get to a penalty shootout, if nothing else. But yeah, the players who actually scored for United are two that I actually quite like as players, so no complaints there. But yeah, I don't know. It kind of made me feel a little bit hopeful about our chances against them. Also, the fact that we're going to play them in between, now and the final. So it's kind of like a test run. But I just feel like they're not playing their best football at the moment. And we have an opportunity here. We really do.
Yeah. And that's the trouble, isn't it? Yeah. I mean, I feel absolutely gutted for Grace Clinton because of the way she's played for us this season and the important role she's had for us. I think it's a real shame that she won't get that Wembley. And I think it's not the first time she's had to sit out a final at Wembley either. So I feel gutted for her, but absolutely very happy to see her saying she's going to be supporting Spurs on the day, which is great to see. And obviously she's got a special bond with Celine and other players. So it's great to see that. And obviously buoys our hopes that she won't be giving positive messages to Manchester United about wanting to stay with them, because we all want her to stay with us. And as I understand it, the club are working quite hard to make that happen. But obviously it's up to Man United in the end. But for me, you know, it'll be an opportunity for us to claim our trophy back from Manchester United. They beat us to the championship title. Obviously, when we got promotion, it was in second place. So I know Jenna Scalacci feels like they stole our trophy. So for her, I'd like us to claim a trophy back from them. And of all the teams, I don't want Manchester United to be winning a trophy. So, and because, yeah, it does feel more likely that we could win it, because Man United have not had the best season. I think I would have gone into a final with Chelsea expecting to lose and not being too bothered, but enjoying the occasion. I think going into a final against Man United, I'm going to really want to win and be disappointed if we don't come away with that trophy, which I guess is how you should go into a final.
Yeah, I realise I should be asking you for your predictions for our upcoming game, which is against Man United. But given that to some extent it's a dry run, I'm almost like willing for Robert Villaham to do some experimenting and use it to work out what we should and shouldn't do against Man United. And given that we lost to them 4-0 last time and that we had that progression with Man City, which went 7-0, 2-0, 1-0, we win, maybe we can start doing a progression. And, you know, and actually it does point to a question we had from Nigel, a listener, who said, what do we need to do to beat Man United on 12th of May? And will next week's game give us any pointers?
I mean, like you say, Rachel, I think that progression thing is interesting. And we seem to always end up playing the club we've just drawn in the cup draw in the league the next week, because we had the same thing with Leicester. But I do think there's a progression thing in there and a learning thing that we've been doing all season, really, which hopefully this will continue. And yeah, Man United have pulled away in the league a little bit, so we're not really realistic of catching them. So the cup final is our season. We never get a good result when we go to Manchester United up at Lee. Is always a disappointing day, but yeah, let's see what we can do with that, because it's going to be a test run without Grace, if nothing else, isn't it? And see what our team looks like without her. So I think but ultimately, it's what Robert says, isn't it? It's you've got to keep playing your way and keep doing your thing and hoping that works and being good enough at what you do to make it work, not worrying quite so much about what the opposition are doing. So if we can keep doing that, if we can keep plugging away and we can keep going until the 90th minute or the 120th minute, if that's where it goes, then there's no reason why we can't give them at least a much better game than we have done in the past.
Yeah, I think I'm kind of like you, Rachel, hoping we don't play our hand too much in this league game, and kind of, I think maybe I'd like to see some players who perhaps have been playing more of a substitute role lately get a more significant game time, kind of see what they can do. Like, I just want Robert to have a full picture of the squad so he can pick the best team for the final, which I think he will anyway. But yeah, I think we're going to play our game no matter what, though, like in terms of tactics. Like, that's kind of what we've seen all season. You know, we play the way we play, and hopefully on the day we execute.
Yeah, it'd be nice, wouldn't it? They could, you know, give Roz, give Ramona Petzlberger a little run out, have some alternatives playing. And we've still got enough games to kind of retain the rhythm of core starters before the final. Yeah, we have got some more questions from listeners about tactics and about what Robert might be doing. The first one is specifically about the final, and both Michael P and Sean asked about how Robert might fill the Grace-shaped hole. Sean added some sort of extra suggestions. Does Drew move forward and we have an Olga Eve or a Kit Eve kind of defensive midfield? And he says he'd love to see Olga Kit perhaps. And there's some other suggestions as well, but I mean, also highlighting that we've got that depth, which is lovely. So what would be your first choice sort of midfield specifically against Man United in the final?
I think that I would go with Drew in the 10 and then our Finnish, you know, pivot, Olga and Evelina, because I just like the energy that Kit brings as a substitute. I think she's been really important at times this season and helping us kind of maintain that first half energy into the second when she comes on. And also, I think she's probably at this point the most versatile midfielder that we have. So no matter like who it is that needs to come out, like she can fill that gap. So I think that's what I would go with. And I love seeing Drew in that more kind of attacking role. I think she's just one of our most exciting players, like on the ball and in terms of her pass selection. So yeah, that would be my pick.
You're going old school. That was like start of the season lineup. Yeah,
it worked, man. It worked.
So did.
I mean, I think it depends. Olga's obviously not been in quite as good form as she was at the beginning of the season, although I think she's been getting a little bit back to it again. And obviously she missed out in some of the international game. So I think it's going to be interesting to see what happens in the next couple of games. But I certainly think those are the kind of players we're talking about there in there. Evelina has been ever present, so I suspect she'll be there. Moving Drew forward is, given that she's kind of the player, I guess, now that's got the most experience at number 10 and player that we could still be seeing there. And also given her link-up play with Beth England, which I think we saw in this last game, starting to show again. So, yeah, for me, it's a little bit of a wait and see on the next couple of games as to quite who's playing on form in those roles. But, you know, I wouldn't be upset with Caroline's suggestion.
Just a... you know, mix it up a little bit. There's a question from Johannes, which is kind of following on from what we saw in this game, asking, is Jess at 9, Beth at 10, and Martha wing with either Celine or Tilly on the other wing, the new system, which would obviously then give totally different opportunities and potential for playing. He also asked specifically about Celine and like what's happened with her in terms of sort of her game, suggesting that she was quite... maybe was less effective at the end of this game and was deservedly substituted.
Well, I think with Celine, she's one of the players who's really just been ever present and played the most minutes pretty much across the team. So I think at this point, it might just be end of season fatigue is getting to her. She also was really involved with Norway over the international break. So you got to think that that was a factor, but I don't think that she's necessarily played poorly. It's just the finishing has not been there, but I think she's a player who you still know that you can rely on her for like kind of the nitty gritty, like moment to moment things. So I, by no means do I think she should be dropped from the starting lineup or anything. I think she just needs to play her way back into the goals basically.
And are you convinced by the new Jess at 9, Beth at 10 solution? Is that going to be the one?
I will say that I think in the moments where Jess has looked the best this season has been when she's playing at striker. So that part of it, I'm definitely all for. And I think Beth's hold up play has been really important at times also, which you do get more benefit from when she's, you know, playing a little farther back. I think we usually tend to see this though, like if we're chasing games, I don't think it's something we would see from the start necessarily.
I do think as well there's good things to be had from that versatility and from the players being able to swap around and confuse the other side. You know, I think just because you start in one way doesn't mean that's how you're going to play the game. And I think that's really been useful to us this season. So I don't see why we stop that moving forward. And those three players are all good in those positions. And we have seen Martha not be happy with her role at Manchester United, so we don't want to lose her joy at playing because that's important to her playing well. So giving them all the opportunity to, you know, to work it out amongst themselves while they're on the pitch, I think is a great thing. They're all experienced players now and have certainly got that ability to do that. When it comes to Celine, I think she's been a really standout player for us this season. I think she's gone up a gear. And I think just the last couple of games, she just hasn't been quite as good as she had been in those previous games. And we've kind of all got used to that excellent Celine. It will be interesting to see her without Grace on the pitch because obviously she and Grace do a lot of passing to each other. So it will be interesting to see how she fares without Grace around. But I still think Celine's been one of our best players this season.
I guess it's also worth remembering she is super young. So we were talking about Jess as a young player. Celine is also 22. So she is similar age really to Matilda Vinberg, who we think of as a sort of like, you know, as a substitute player. And so Celine, because she's now been with us for 2 years, we've seen her growing into her role a lot, and she's had a lot of game time. So, yeah, I mean, like you say, I like the flexibility. I like the fact that we are definitely mixing it up and we've got a whole variety of different options. And we haven't even talked about, like, you know, Zhang coming in, or who's also got the potential to be a really great number 10. So lots of possibilities. Okay, moving on from the more sort of tactical questions, let's ask a couple of vibes questions. First up from Harsh, he asks whether the American contingent are thinking of crossing the water for the final. Just to say, Abby has let us know in advance, her response to this was that she's got a call out for somebody to send her $900 for the plane ticket. And if they do, she's very, very happy to come. So I don't know, if there happens to be a very rich listener and you want to fund Abby to $900, Caroline, what's your asking price?
I mean, basically the same. You know, it really just is a matter of it not being affordable for me right now. I looked at ticket prices and had a little cry about it. It's just not happening. But I really am thrilled for all of y'all who are going to get to be at the game. And, you know, I will be watching from home no matter what. So,
okay, well, you're watching at home until that rich listener has the, you know, a couple of grand to get you both over, and then we're sorted.
They can reach out to me for my Venmo when they're ready.
Okay. Similarly, sort of lighthearted but very serious note, Kirsty asked, where do we put the Martha statue? And again, Abby has added a suggestion, which is that they should build a bunch of tiny statues and send one of them to each of us so we can admire Martha's likenesses at all times. Caroline, alternative thought from you.
Not an alternative thought. I support Abby's suggestion. However, I want to add that it must be Martha doing her knee slide. I think that would be perfect.
But there are kind of two different versions of the knee slide. There's one where she's like much lower to the ground, and there's one where she's like much more standing upright. I think this one was like a higher knee slide than the last one. I don't know which one. Where do you go with that?
I think for stability, like if you wanted to put it on your bookshelf, we're talking about like a mini figurine at this point.
Right.
Possibly a bobblehead. I don't know if they do those in the UK, but they're a big thing over here. I feel like the more upright knee slide would be definitely more functional.
Okay. Sean, where are you on the statue versus bobblehead?
Well, bobblehead seems to be the much more likely option, doesn't it? We need some player merch in the Spurs store for Spurs women. Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, wherever they want to put it, it's fine with me. Just we need a row of Spurs women statues, I think, or a team statue when they win the final.
I mean, Martha clearly loves that stadium. So it's got to be somewhere near the stadium if she's going to have a statue, and it's going to be like a proper one. But, you know, maybe she wins a few more games there, like the next couple of North London derbies. She keeps winning and then she gets that statue. On a similarly lighthearted note, and actually one that even though I knew it was coming, I have not got an answer to. So I really hope that one of you have an answer to this. From Michael C, if you could pick any artist to do the FA Cup final song, who would it be? And this is obviously following in the very proud tradition of Chaz and Dave and Hoddle and Waddle and all of those horrendous tunes we've had previously. Sorry, I didn't mean to call them horrendous. I'm not dissing Chaz and Dave. I am dissing Hoddle and Waddle. That was horrendous.
But I mean, we've got Adele now, right? So we don't have to go horrendous. We just go proper banging, belting tune, right? Maybe with some backing vocals by Emma Bunton. It's all good.
Is Emma Bunton a Spurs fan?
Yes.
She apparently is. Yeah, we just learned this. Yeah. Well, Sean stole my answer. I was definitely going to say Adele. We already have video evidence of her singing the Tottenham song. So I don't think she even needs to do a new original song, like just stick with the classic.
Although I would quite like a new original. I mean, the point about an FA Cup song is like, it's really cheesy and it's time bound and it's like makes no sense. So please, please, Adele, if you're listening, which I'm sure you are, come up with a song, please. A few lyrics. They can be cheesy. We don't care. We will love it. And maybe we can get Barra to do the video because I just really want to see that.
Yeah, I really enjoyed that. I think it was probably on TikTok, but I'm not on TikTok, so I saw it elsewhere. But she had, what was it, Tilly and maybe Olga doing some sort of like fake DJ video. It was delightful.
That was Luana. No, it was Tilly Luana.
Luana. It was Luana. You're right. Okay. But yeah, she's definitely got like the creative direction down for a video.
And this is one, like, I don't know if Sean knows the answer to this. I don't have an answer to this, but we can think about it and come back to you before that game. Tim's asking, what pub are fans meeting at before the game? Still the North Star on Finchley Road. I honestly don't know. Should we come back on that one, like in the pod before the game?
Yeah, I mean, when it comes to Wembley these days, it's a whole different ball game, isn't it? I think most people tend to meet in the stadium if they're going to the game rather than pub beforehand. You might need to do some research on that. But
okay, we will have done the research by the time it is the podcast before the game. We will have an answer. Yes. Okay. One big picture question for you. I'm saving Luke's question for another time. But David asks, David says that regardless of the outcome, the club should receive just under 500k in prize money for appearing in the final. How should Spurs invest this money? And just to give you a hint, Callum has suggested that we spend it on buying Grace Clinton. Can you improve on that, or are you in agreement?
I mean, I think we've already decided we're buying Grace Clinton, so that money can go on something else. We've got the money for Grace Clinton somewhere, hopefully. And what else do we want? I mean, I think we've got to be, you know, expansive about these things. And if we win the final, let's really go crazy and think about what's next and who. Let's use that momentum of winning, because we've got to use the momentum if we win it, even if we don't win it. We've got to use the momentum of getting to the final from a fan building perspective, but also from a team building perspective. So let's be ambitious and let's go for it. And I mean, I'm not the person to ask who's the player out there that we need to get in, but I'm saying, we've got Grace Clinton in the bag if Man United will let her go. If not, but whichever way, who's next? Let's really start to think about chasing down those top 14.
Yeah, I mean, I think if United are determined to keep Grace, it probably doesn't matter how much money we try to throw at them. Like, they're not going to budge because that's who they are. But I think, to give a very specific answer, I think we're going to have to think about some center back recruitment this summer. Just because I'm starting to feel nervous about, you know, Shalina moving on. Obviously, we don't know what's going to happen with Amy, with her spouse now overseas. So I think I'm just feeling a little nervous about that position. And a good center back is hard to find, but hopefully we could find one.
Yeah, that's a good call. And on the one hand, Becky's having a great time at the moment, but we've said as well that we might need to get another goalkeeper at some point. And so that's the other space. And of course, we're going to need a few K for some bobbleheads of Martha. So it's important to retain that little part of the fund for those most important purposes.
I did think of another bobblehead idea. I think we need one of Becky making her penalty save on Chloe Kelly. And this will be a rare case of a bobblehead, including a player from another team.
Yeah, and also like the head, she'll be like diving, so the whole bobbling thing will be,
it's an action kind of shot. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Some bobblehead designer somewhere, please sort it out. We want that. Okay, we're asking for so many things today. A few K to get you over to London, some bobblehead designs, and Adele.
I don't ask for much.
Right. On that note, before we think of anything else we want, and with lots of joy and happiness to all Spurs women's supporters everywhere, we've been N17 Women. You can find us on Twitter, or you can contact us by email. And come on, you Spurs.